Welcome everybody and welcome to the episode 3 of the Don't Mess With Texans Fantasy Football Podcast. I am your host, Chris Knowles. You can find me on the Twitter machine at Chris Knowles NFL. That is at CHRISNALLSNFL. We're not going to waste too much time. We're going to jump right into week one. What a game on Monday night. I have to say I was pretty impressed with the Houston Texans and the way they played against the New Orleans Saints in New Orleans in a hostile crowd. I was pretty shocked. The Texans went in there and held their own. Kudos to that. I'm not a huge Bill O'Brien fan. I don't know very many that are, but I have to say, I have to give him some credit. He called a beautiful offensive game that I thought for the most part. Went in there, went toe-to-toe for the New Orleans with the New Orleans Saints. This was a team last year that lost to the Los Angeles Rams due to the down here in New Orleans. I'm sorry, we call it as the missed flag call, this was a team that was one play away to go into the Super Bowl. And guys, I don't know about you, but the Houston Texans just went into New Orleans and lost by 2 points to a field goal in under 37 seconds. I know a loss is a loss in the NFL, but guys, you have to feel somewhat positive for this team, the outlook for this team from here on out. I thought a lot of great things came from Deshaun Watson. You really saw that growth. He stayed in the pocket. He tried not to rush. Unfortunately, we still know the offensive line's not perfect, but it looked a little bit better than last year. A little bit. He stayed in there. He followed through with his throws. He got the ball out quick. Deshaun Watson, wow, he looks amazing this year. I think he's a MVP candidate, like I said in episode 1 and episode 2. DeAndre Hopkins, like I said, he was a must-start in fantasy. He went for 8 receptions, 111 receiving yards, and 2 touchdowns against Marcus Lattimore. I thought Lattimore was a good cornerback. Like I said, it was hard to really judge off of last year because he had kind of a down year. But Lattimore is a good quality cornerback. Hopkins is Hopkins. And although he did have 13 targets and he did miss a few in the beginning, he did. For a wide receiver that dropped 0 passes last year, it was kind of disturbing to see that, but he kind of bounced back, got back in there, and DeAndre Hopkins did what DeAndre Hopkins does, and he produced. I'll tell you right now, another player that I really have to say showed out for the Houston Texans, and that was running back Carlos Hyde. 10 attempts, 83 rushing yards. I really liked the way he played the running back position in Monday night. I was really happy about that. He almost at times, in my opinion, looked better than Lamar Miller did his entire tenure here with the Texans. Hyde was so far looks like a good trade pick for the Texans. Duke Johnson ended up having 9 attempts for 57 rushing yards. He also had 5 targets, 4 receptions for 33 yards. That is, folks, what Duke Johnson's going to do. He is going to be the guy that you know, will get in there. He will rush sometimes, change of pace back. He will also get you those targets in the receiving. He's a scat back. He is a dynamic player, but he looks like he has possibly found himself a nice little niche and role here in Houston. Another player, of course, Will Fuller. Will Fuller, I call him one and done, and I don't mean that because he will get hurt, but what I'm saying is, you know, he had 3 targets, 2 receptions, 69 yards. That's just what Will Fuller does, folks. He's a burner. He goes out there and he burns those corners, man. You don't need to pepper him with many targets. All it needs is just to be that one, and he's going to get you a lot of yards in fantasy. That's what I love about Will Fuller. And like I said in episode 2, folks, the man, Kenny Stills, the former New Orleans Saints, went in there, 3 targets, 3 receptions, 37 yards, and 1 touchdown. Nice little flex position there. Flex points, I should say, for a player that came in there, and I knew they would draw up something for him. It just so happened to be at the very end of the game. Unfortunately, it got kind of voided after they went and marched downfield, and kicked field goal to ultimately win the game. But overall, I thought the Texans played really, really, really good. Deshaun Watson, I'm going to tell you guys now, get ready. He's going to be a must-start for me anyways, from week 1 through week 16. DeAndre Hopkins, the same. I don't see why that should change. The trick part is going to be the Hyde, Johnson, Fuller steals, and then hopefully we see some hopefully we see some tight ends here. They kind of disappeared in week 1. So we're gonna ramp up into some questions here. I got off of Twitter. We're gonna touch on some must starts against Jacksonville next week, week 2, this coming Sunday. Let's jump into some of these questions. First question I have is from Jeff Risden off of Twitter here. Jeff is a good friend of mine. He's the one that kind of helped me break into the Texans Wire and my love for covering the Texans and some fantasy football stuff. So Jeff asks, how much should I value Duke Johnson in the coming weeks? And do you think he gets more receptions / targets? See, Duke Johnson's someone I like as an RB2. That's kind of that's to me his ultimate. That's where he bottoms out. RB2 is where he is. I don't think he will ever reach into an RB1 level running back in fantasy. I think he's a perfect RB2. And if you want to even better that, I don't know how you get more than perfect. Sorry for my verbiage there, but I think he's an ultimate flex in any league. Someone that can rush the ball and get targets, but you're looking 12, 13 targets. 12, 13 fantasy points per game. He's someone that is, to me, if you have a flex spot, Duke Johnson is that perfect flex spot for anybody in fantasy football. Other than that, if you're really hurt at RB2, he can kind of plug in there. But just, you know, like I said, 12, 13 points, you have to really hope he breaks out a long run for a touchdown, like a 70-yard catch and run for a touchdown type thing with Duke Johnson. Other than that, that's kind of where I look at Duke Johnson. So, yes, does he have value? Absolutely. Are you going to go in there and thinking he's going to be an RB1? No, don't even think it. It's not going to happen. Carlos Hyde has that down on lock. Bill O'Brien likes to run in between the tackles. Duke Johnson is a dynamic playmaker. He likes to dance, and he's an ultimate pass catcher guy. That's just what Duke Johnson is. Not saying he doesn't bring any value in fantasy football, but that's just what Duke Johnson is. Next question comes from Corey Clark. He is at Corey Clark Radio. He says, hey, Chris, question regarding the Texans. Is Carlos Hyde going to be just fine handling the load this season? Also, what's your take on how the Texans handled the final play on the Saints game from a defensive standpoint? Well, Corey, first answer. Is Carlos Hyde going to be just fine handling this load this season? So far, he's looked good. I like him. He's a buy for me. If I can scoop him up, I would do it. He looks like he's going to be the guy that's going to get the majority of the touches. He's looking good, even though that line is not 100%. It is a little better than last year, but still, I would still grab Carlos Hyde right now. He looks to be an RB2 type role as well, along with Duke Johnson. But Carlos Hyde, RB2, he's going to get the touches. I like him this year a lot. And after last week's game, this past Monday, I'm sorry, he is someone I would definitely grab for the Texans. And that offense is going to be up moving the ball very well. So, yes, I do like Carlos Hyde a lot. What's my take on how the Texans handled the final play of the Saints game? It was horrible, Corey. It was horrible. It was something that you could see. Hell, I could see it from my lazy boy recliner. I don't know what it is with the Houston Texans and Romeo Crennel's defense, but they like to have these cornerbacks play in so much cushion. If you take it back to last year when the Texans played the Indianapolis Colts, the Colts sliced and diced them up, and not necessarily deep, although T.Y. Hilton will do that one or two plays. It was majority of the time, Andrew Luck was taking the 10, 15-yard cushion that the Texans defense always gives. I don't know why they do it. I don't get it. They would, I guess, feel safer than sorry, but unfortunately, it come back and it finally it bit him in the ass twice. I mean, it happened last year against the Colts in the playoffs, and then now it happened again this season with the Saints. All they had to do was play tight coverage, and I think you might have had a different outcome. But you can't go in here with these quarterbacks like Luck and Drew Brees and give them that much cushion. And those guys are smart. Brees knows how many yards he needs to get. He's not a dumb quarterback. The guy's an All-Pro Hall of Famer. He's going to go in there and make you feel it. And he did just that. Romeo Crennel, he's got to get better on that. I was very proud of the fact that they cut Aaron Colvin after that. I have to say one positive thing about Bill O'Brien as well is he's making players, he's holding players accountable. I'm sorry. He's holding players accountable, and he doesn't care how much you make. He's here to coach football. And that's going to be probably the most positive thing you ever hear me say about Bill O'Brien. But the one thing I have to give him credit for as well is he's holding players accountable. If you're not going to produce, you're not on this team. I love it. I love it. You can't say anything bad about that. And the fact that we went in there in New Orleans, held them to, I think it was just a field goal in the first half. Pretty impressive for a New Orleans Saints team that's as loaded as they are on offense. You can't knock that. Second half, quite different feel, but you knew Brees and Sean Payton were going to come out with a game plan, and the defense definitely bend. It did bend. I don't want to say it totally broke down, but it started to crumble a little bit. But I have to say, to come out there in New Orleans in a hostile crowd after last season's incident and hold that team to 2 points, pretty good. J.J. Watt came out after the game and said it was the defense's fault. He's right. He's 100% right. It's the defense's fault. But I lay a lot of that, too, on Romeo Crennel for calling that play. I'll tell you a guy that I was really impressed with, too, was the cornerback, Roby. He went in there. That boy's laying some wood, folks. That guy is going in there and laying some wood. He is around that ball all the time. That kid is good. I like him a lot. I said in episode 2, for IDP leagues, Whitney Merciless, I'm telling you, the guy's going to produce now with Jadeveon Clowney out there, who's not there anymore. I'm sorry. The guy produced, man. He had five combo tackles. I'm sorry. Four solos, one quarterback hit, one interception. The guy, one pass defense, one sack. I'm telling you guys, you're not going to really miss Jadeveon Clowney. Although he did have a decent game in Seattle, we're getting what Clowney was doing with Merciless. And folks, we don't have to pay Merciless $20 million a year. It's incredible. I like it. I like it a lot. Back to the questions here. Stevie Johnson, that's at StevieJ1077. Chris, after he showed some flashes last year, I'm tempted to stash Kiki Kute on my bench, but with his injuries and Kenny still added, am I just wasting a spot on my roster? No, you're not wasting a spot on your roster. Kute can play. The problem is just getting him on the freaking field. Kute can play. He is there. And, if he starts, he's someone I would start flex first just to kind of gauge where he's going to be at. But he's an ultimate flex position with a possible upside of a wide receiver too. He has that. He's going to get peppered a lot once he gets back. Kenny Stills is a nice play if you can't get your hands on Kute, but don't release Kiki to go grab Stills. Don't do that. Keep Kiki. Let Stills go. I think when Kiki comes back, you're going to see more him. Kenny's going to be there right there at wide receiver 4. They're going to get Kenny and Steele's involved. I can tell you that now. They want him involved in that offense. But Kiki's going to be the primary slot wide receiver that's going to get peppered. So for sure, I would keep Kiki over Steele's for right now. Another question comes from at EA Sports DFW. Hey, Chris, had a Texans fantasy question for you. Is Keith Kute worth a start this week? Tough. he he's possibly a must start if he's healthy. That's the biggest thing. He's got to be healthy, guys. If he's not healthy, no point. And we don't know where he is in terms of health right now. So Kiki is someone I would watch, but you know, right now, just hold tight. I would wait. You know, this next game they're playing the Jacksonville Jaguars, who let me see here, they're 29th in yards, ranked 29th in passing yards. So if he starts, if he does actually get on the field, yes, I would definitely play him. You know, the Jacksonville Jaguars defensive rank after just one game now, folks. Don't go crazy on me here. They rank 30th in points for and 29th in yards. So that's a favorable matchup for this offense. I can tell you this right now. I really like the Texans to go in there and beat Jacksonville for sure. I don't see why they couldn't, especially now with their quarterback, Garner Minshew. I think I'm pronouncing that correctly. Although he looked like he could play now. Nick Foles, to me, I thought was just kind of a bridge gap. I don't think he was going to bring that Philadelphia Eagles Super Bowl run to Jacksonville by any means. But he was definitely, I think Foles was an upgrade than Bortles. But, man, this Garner Minshew kid, I don't know if you guys ever got a chance to watch him, but he got some wiggle to him, man. He can play. They might have found them. They might have found their franchise quarterback there. It's possible. I'm not saying he's going to be the next coming of Joe Montana or anything, but he can definitely play for sure. You know, I'm getting pretty pumped about this game. I really like what I saw with Houston and against New Orleans. You know, some of my must starts. Like I said, it's going to be Deshaun Watson against Jacksonville. I think he really just does what Deshaun Watson does, which is just produce. The guy's a stud. He balls. You know, I think I'm going to go ahead and if you're starting Carlos Hyde, and if you have Carlos Hyde, start him at RB2. I think you're safe there. I think he gets a rushing touchdown this game. If you have Duke Johnson, like I said, put him in the flex. He's going to get you a lot, rushing yards and the receiving yards and the targets if you're playing in PPR formats. Of course, you have DeAndre Hopkins. He's a must start. That's a no-brainer. Don't even take him out. Will Fuller, to me, has wide receiver, I would say definitely wide receiver 3 upside this week. I think he does catch a 50 to 60-yard bomb for a touchdown. If you have steals, leave him on the bench. I wouldn't start him. Kiki, if he does start, it's tough, man. I don't want to tell you to start him, and you start him and you get mad at me when he does nothing. But he's somebody if I were me, I would have Kiki on my bench just to see what the Texans do with him in a real-life NFL game. If he comes out and they pepper the hell out of him, like I do think they will, then I'd feel safe in week 3 to say roll with him. But right now, must start for Deshaun Watson. DeAndre Hopkins followed by Will Fuller, then Hyde, and then Duke Johnson. Those are the guys that I would tell you to definitely start. But just garner your expectations from each of them. What I mean is Deshaun Watson's must start QB1. Carlos Hyde's a must start RB2. Duke Johnson is a perfect flex with a RB2 upside. DeAndre Hopkins, of course, WR1 with fantasy. Will Fuller with a wide receiver 3 with a wide receiver 2 upside. Kenny Steeles, don't do it. Don't start it unless they get him more involved. Kiki, if he actually does play, hold off. Just hold tight. Wait, see what the Texans actually do and what Bill O'Brien calls up for him. And then kind of roll with him there. As far as tight ends go, I have to say, I didn't see him play that much. I didn't see a whole lot of, tight ends being targeted. So for right now, all Texans tight ends, hold. If you have them on your bench, hold. If you don't go out and try to make a mad dash to get any. Just hold tight. Those are kind of my expectations for each Texans. And like I said, guys, don't hesitate to reach out to me on Twitter. My Twitter handle is at Chris Knauls NFL. That is at ChrisNallsNFL. Guys, reach out to me, please. I will respond. I've responded so far to everybody that had a fantasy football question concerning the Texans. Also, I want to let you guys know to go follow at Texans Wire. Please go follow those guys. Please. I work there. They're the ones that make this possible. That's at the Texans Wire. Also, I want to give a huge shout out to at Fantasy Headliners. That is at FNTSYHEADLINERS. That is at Fantasy Headliners. Those guys, I also work there and do some fantasy football work there as well. So please go follow those guys. I'm telling you, they're a great group of group of guys. Boy, I tell you what, if that wasn't a tongue twister, I don't know what else would be. I think today, if I'm not correct, let me pull this up. 60,000 subscribers for the Headliner Nation. That is the Fantasy Headliners. 10,000 new subscribers in the last week alone, guys. So if you want the best fantasy football advice there is, follow those guys. Great group of guys, like I said. They're solid. And let me tell you something. We do our homework. We know our stuff. There's a reason why 60,000 subscribers subscribe to the Fantasy Headliners. For all your latest Texans news, again, the Texans Wire. I can't say that enough. The Texans Wire. That's where you follow the latest breaking Texans news, guys. Follow me on Twitter. Any questions you have, shout them out to me. I will be back next week. Get those questions going. I'm trying to improve on this podcast and keep it as long as possible. Right now, I'm running on an average of about 25 minutes. I want to get it longer. I'm trying to get my flow going. So give me some time, guys. Keep those questions coming, and we'll definitely get you on air for sure. Again, thank you guys so much. Let's go Texans. Let's get a big Texans W this week against Jacksonville, and let's roll, baby.